I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I've got a great show planned for you today. Here's a question. I actually have multiple questions, and I'd love for you to answer if you feel like texting me. Question number one, if you're single, how has COVID impacted you? If you're single, how has COVID impacted? And what's been the most difficult thing about it for you? And maybe what have you learned about yourself? And if you're married, how has COVID impacted your marriage? What have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about your spouse? What have you learned about your marriage? Well, my friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, join me today to talk about navigating the challenges of COVID, working our way through it. And they're going to talk about later in the show about building a happy, healthy marriage, no matter what may come. But if you're single, there's some great content here for you as well. Quick announcement before we get them on. Tomorrow night is our live stream, Thursday night, January 28th. Dr. Jill Carnahan and I are going to talk about healthy habits, healthy life, physical and spiritual disciplines that last, and we've got amazing gifts to give away. We've got some organic moisturizer that's like $120 from Dr. Jill's clinic, a water filtration pitcher, an exercise mat, a stability ball, a journal, a candle, some books. A protein shake with a shaker. We got just all these health-minded things to give away. It's going to be great. We want to see you 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Information is on our website. You don't have to register to show up. It'll be on my Facebook page, on Faith Radio's Facebook page, and on YouTube, but you can find the direct link on our website, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Excuse me. Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley both serve in leadership roles at Focus on the Family. Aaron serves as the strategic spokesperson for Marriage Ministries. Greg serves as the vice president for Family Ministries. They together have written a whole bunch of books, and they speak all over the world. Aaron has recently opened up her own counseling practice in Colorado Springs, and I love these two so very much. I'm going to let you speak at the same time this time. Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. We are so excited. You're one of our favorite people.
It's been too long, though.
I don't know what in the world happened. I can't believe I was telling them off the air. It's been a full year. They usually come on every month, and it's like now it's like once every 12 months we get them on. Not anymore, though. We're going to make this work.
We'll call it even if you send me some of that organic moisturizer.
Yes. And I will steal it directly from Greg.
Yes. I'm super excited about it. I love that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a fun night. But you know this. You've been on the show before. We love to start by talking scripture. And I always tease Greg that Erin is his overachiever because she always comes very well prepped. What do you got for us, Erin?
Well, I went with Ephesians 3, 20 to 21, and I actually pulled it up in the message. And it says, God can do anything you know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. And I just, there's been so much going on lately, including starting a private practice, and it's been so much work to get that done, but He's just blown me away with everything that He has put in place. And then just recently, after a lifetime of wondering, I'm adopted, wondering who my birth family is, I've been reunited with a sister and have recently found out about my birth father and received a picture last night. And I'm like, wow. Lord, you blow my mind. This has been a prayer of mine since I was probably 7 years old. And why now? But why not now?
Yes. So. Oh, golly, Aaron, that's amazing. Praise God. You know, He's always surprising us, isn't He?
He sure is.
Wow, so amazing. How about you, Greg?
Well, I ask next time to go first because how do I follow that up?
Yeah, exactly. You found your lost cereal bowl. How about there? Sorry.
Yeah. You know, I love Colossians 3:13, and it's been a verse that I've been thinking about as it applies to marriage. And it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And it's really, Susie, that first part where it says bear with, and that's all about learning how to be patient with someone. So bearing with means to be patient, because as we know, in close quarters, as we've been quarantined and stuck together, and I mean that in a very good way, there's plenty of opportunities to get irritated, frustrated, to get into conflict, and learning really how to bear with my wife, Erin, to bear with my kids. This has been something I've really been working on, because I'm not always the most patient person. I know that's surprising, and I'm sure it's hard to believe, but it can be hard to be patient.
You're so good, Greg. Well, I'm going to aim this at Greg and then Erin follow up, but give us your take on this last year, not only, you know, COVID, but all things, and especially you guys have a ministry to families, to marriages. Just give me your take, Greg. What have you thought as you've watched things unfold?
Yeah, I think that there's been some super positives about COVID for relationships. We've seen that the divorce rate has declined, because I think people are, in the midst of all the uncertainty, they're hesitant to make that sort of decision, which is a good thing, because, man, God can always work miracles. And as people delay filing, delay separating, there's always such amazing hope that they can figure out what's really been going on. And people like Erin, who are fantastic marriage counselors, can really jump in and help. And so that's been a good one. I think for a lot of couples that they've grown closer, for Erin and I, you know, we just, when the pace so dramatically slowed down for us, we're used to traveling, you know, 15 to 20 times a year doing marriage seminars. And when all that went away, we found ourselves going, wow, this is slow. This is somewhat boring. We have to now figure out how to connect to each other, being around each other. And it's been a really fruitful time for us. I can tell you, though, I think probably for me the biggest thing that we've experienced is loss. And I know so many people have experienced loss around jobs, around health, just a lot of little losses. But for us, really that loss started just a month or so before COVID, you know, shut us all down. And that's when our son-in-law, that's married to our oldest daughter, Taylor, on their third wedding anniversary, which was about exactly a year ago, told her he no longer wanted to be married. And so kind of this last year for us is not only dealing with COVID, mm-hmm. but really just trying to figure out how do we walk this out. And sadly, he wasn't willing to get help, and their divorce became final right at Mother's Day.
Yeah,
that's how Erin got to celebrate Mother's Day.
Yeah, a hard day. And I agree with Greg. There's been so much good during this season in the last year, but that marked really the beginning of the season of such great change and loss and just devastation with losing our son-in-law and watching our daughter hurt and walking that out with our own grief and our family's grief and our daughter's grief. But through the COVID season, it's been, we've had time to grieve, but B, I know that there's been so many people who have had losses, and a lot of people have lost, you know, grandparents and parents and, but then there's been job loss and, loss of celebrations, weddings that were planned that didn't go on. And, you know, our son was a senior in high school last year, and his graduation was the most bizarre graduation I've ever seen in my life. We were all in the car together and drove through the procession line together. But in many ways, it was kind of fun because then we got to be with him as he graduated, which is not usual. But a lot of loss, and I think a lot of people over the last year haven't been able to really name that those are losses that need to be grieved as well. It's not just death, and there's a loss in all those different types of changes. And I know that Greg and I have had many deep conversations around what have you lost in the last month, even, and really processing that together.
Yeah. We don't, Erin, we don't tend to grieve moments that should have happened, you know?
Yeah.
And especially, you know, I say this often, when we compare our loss to someone else and theirs is so much greater, we minimize the loss and then we don't heal from it. But we do have to name it. We do have to say, you know, we had two different hospital runs during that 12 month of COVID. Kev had severe kidney stones and he's got a high threshold of pain. And to have drop him off in the curb. And then he went 18 days on a 9, 10 level pain. They wouldn't operate on him. That was early in COVID because they said, we're only doing COVID. So I watched him writhe for 18 days.
Oh my God.
And they said, normally we wouldn't even let you go a day or two with this kind of pain. And, and then I had this weird heart thing months later and he had to drop me off on the curb. And I just was like, this is, you know, when you're in crisis, it's not supposed to go this way. But I just think there are millions of those kinds of moments that people go, oh, wow, that's tough, you know?
Yeah, some of the best advice I ever got, Susie, was around 14 years ago. I lost my mom, and one of our friends lost his wife and his son within months of each other. And I was like, oh, I can't even compare my loss to yours. And he said, hold on 1 minute. Don't you ever compare your loss and your grief to anyone else's because it's yours. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, that's so true, because what I'm feeling is what I'm feeling, and what I'm grieving is what I'm grieving. Someone else, I'm not minimizing their grief by acknowledging mine. And so it's just embracing whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is you've lost. Make sure that you take care of your heart and grieve it, and grieve it well.
Yeah. We're going to pause when we come back. You know, one of my favorite shows I did with you guys years ago was on the amygdala hijack, and we actually had some good laughs around that too. But Greg, you had so many amazing things to say about the amygdala hijack, and I might have you speak to it on the other side, but I was just listening to a podcast where this brain science gal said, when you name the emotion, you take that power and the pressure down significantly. Like the brain response is so different when you can at least, instead of minimizing or disregarding, you name, I'm discouraged right now. You know, just the idea of how we process things, naming them, just a first step. But also, we're going to talk about singles, what it's been like for you. Madison just texted in and said what it's been like for her. I'll read that on the other side. Talking to marriage and family experts, Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley from Focus on the Family. And Erin, again, has her own practice as well. Lots of books. Just check them out on Amazon. You'll see like a ticker tape parade. They've got so many. More with my friends in just a moment. You know, there's a way to navigate difficult emotions and all the stuff that surfaces when life shakes us around like we've been shaken in this last year. I'm Susie Larson talking to our good friends, Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley. They're authors many times over. They speak all over the world. They both work for Focus on the Family. And Erin recently opened up her own private practice. And we're talking about just the impact of COVID on singles and on marriages. And just as Erin was saying before the break, naming your emotion is just half the battle in identifying, naming your loss. And I want to read this from Madison. She said, as a single during COVID, some of my fears were magnified. Fear of losing loved ones and wondering how I could make it alone. Seeing how I have made my family an idol and how I need to love God first and foremost. But in the midst of it, even though it's still scary to work through, God's good. And he's showing me this and giving me time to change and to know him. Greg, do you want to speak to that?
Oh, I love that. I love her insight. Because it is easy to make a loved one an idol. In other words, you know, that we put so much trust and faith in those relationships. And, of course, God gave us those relationships. But I love her insight. I think one of the things that stood out for me is Erin and I did some research around how marriage, you know, has been impacted by COVID. One of the things that for people dating, it's been so much more difficult, and it's really delayed so many new relationships because of all the quarantine restrictions, you know, all the social distancing policies has just made that very, very difficult, which I think for so many singles then has increased the loneliness, and you're seeing the impact of that, and just our conversations with our three oldest, just you hear just the loneliness and trying to figure out how do we have community when we can't go to church, when you know, it's difficult to go home and see family. And of course, our two oldest daughters are nurses, so they're frontline health workers. So all of that just has increased the loneliness, the rates of just depression and some other mental health issues. So we need to be surrounding our single young adults and just lifting them up in prayer and just encouraging them, figuring out how do we continue to connect with them. Because, you know, I mean, Aaron and I, we're, although we don't say this in a bad way, but we're stuck with each other here at home. Mm-hmm. And so we're together, we're around one another. Although that did create some conflict. Susie, I think it took us 2 hours into the day that everything shut down and we were quarantined. We were so excited going, hey, we're together at home. Let's go and cook. Let's make dinner together. And as we proceeded to cook, my job, which was, by the way, a very difficult job, was to brown the ground beef. And as I was working at doing just that, Aaron thought that I wasn't doing it right because it's very complicated. So she began to coach me and teach me the right ways to brown ground beef. And it created some conflict, some frustration.
Yeah. Well, let's just say that when someone is trying to brown ground beef and it is like one solid log, it's helpful just to break it up and to brown it so it actually all gets cooked. But it was hilarious because we're like, oh, we're so excited. Here we are. And we soon learned that there was going to be many adjustments relationally as far as who does what and how we do it and how to bring up suggestions. Also was a learning curve.
So I've watched many YouTube videos now on browning ground beef, so I'm good.
I don't even hear any attitude
really
in your voice, Greg, at all. Like, there's no attitude. I'm sure
I'm
you
like,
were totally
I'm
the victim
here. I'm 50 years old. I know how to do
You're
this.
Older than 50.
Well, ish. I'm 50-ish.
Oh, that's so funny.
Hey,
but
you know
that,
when you talked about the amygdala hijack? That's what's happening for me right now, by the way.
Are you getting a little? So, I'm so sorry about that.
Actually, before we even got on the phone, my amygdala was hijacked because our stupid dog, which we got from Minneapolis, I don't know if that factors in any way, she jumped up on our table and stole my expensive earbuds and was chewing on them when I walked in.
Oh, my. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I still love her, but I'm rethinking how much I love her.
That's hilarious. Yeah, you got her from a mutual friend, our little
we
dear
did.
Barbie. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm,
you know, but go ahead.
I'm sending her a bill, by the way.
Yeah,
that.
You should. Yeah, no. Barbie will pay it, I'm sure. So, but you know, you talk about just, I mean, the things, how things shift, and it really just does. And you know, when I reference Psalm 18 a lot because I just feel like my life script is in there. But there's this part in there where, you know, I'm a former athlete, so to speak, and I'm very interested in the physiology of just how spiritual laws are written in physical laws as well. And that place where it says, you give me hinds feet and make me to walk on high places, what that speaks of is spiritual agility, because high places are very uneven terrain. And for athletes to become agile, they have to change directions and have to deal with, you know, a ball coming this way, and then they deke left, they deke right, double down, and all of that, so that their bodies are used to all this anaerobic of changing positions. And I feel like one of the ways God teaches us to walk on high places is he trains us and allows things to move and shake a little bit and allows us to adjust. And Aaron, I've heard this over and over again from people, couples, singles, families, that they find themselves two pathways before them and have in the last 12 months to just, you know, eat like crazy and binge on Netflix and kind of numb out. Okay, I'm hunkering down. I might as well. And they hate themselves for it because they just start to feel sluggish. Or find innovative ways to connect with the people in their community, their friends, their loved ones. Okay, we're doing a Zoom party, or we're doing that house party thing on the phone when we play games and get to see each other. You know, they start to get innovative and they find themselves almost more alive because they are creative in ways they never otherwise would have been. So it's a big setup, but I'd love for you to speak to that if you would.
Well, I love how when talking about elite athletes, instead of going to me, you go right to Aaron.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted everybody to hear
he was telling me to hold on. I have something to say here.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're an elite athlete, you would have grabbed those earbuds the second your dog got on the table.
Well, my amygdala has been hijacked again, so go ahead, elite Aaron.
You know, it's Susie, I love the thought of that because there are many who have hunkered down. And I would say we've done that a lot because we're on Zoom so much with teletherapy and work meetings and on that it made it difficult to want to connect with people on Zoom. I wanted to in my heart, but my physical body couldn't take any more screen time.
Sure.
But it has been fun to watch different people and how they've done it. And it's been, you know, through the different seasons of, okay, we're shut down, we're at level orange, level red, whatever. Things have had to be minimized face-to-face. But then when it's opened up, people are excited to be outside. And you know, we had a drive-by bridal shower back when this all first started. And Garrison's graduation party was all outside, and we just social distanced. And, you know, just being creative with how to make these things happen and how can we connect. And, you know, Bible study has been on Zoom this whole year so far. And just this 2 weeks from now, we get to meet in person for the very first time. And the great news is, I know for me, I am so excited, and I appreciate that face-to-face contact so much more than I ever did. And I'm looking forward to recreating some new things, some new connections. And it is a time of evaluating as we come out of this, which I'm hoping we truly are coming out of it. What's it going to look like for you individually? What's it going to look like for your family? I know even my introvert, Greg, who is an elite athlete, may I add, he has wanted to connect with people, which he never does. He's like, who are we going to have over?
And I'm like, joking when I said that, by the way.
What's wrong with you? I don't know who you are.
Greg, you and I are a lot alike way, very much. And I really, I mean, we just have a minute before our break, and you can pick it up on the other side. But I have noticed that because I can tend towards selfishness in my introversion. And this time has really awakened my heart going, I have to be more proactive. What about you?
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, I joke that I thought I died and went to heaven when I didn't have to go to work and be around people. But I do see the value. Yeah. Of course, I discovered that certain big chains will deliver now all your groceries. And so really that was my last reason for leaving our home. And that went away. Hey, and I do want to point out, because you guys are mocking my athletic ability, for me, COVID gave me an opportunity, and I ended up losing 50 pounds.
Oh, come on.
I did.
Way to go, Greg.
I think you lost more than that. He's minimizing it.
Wow. I will tell you, Greg, we're going to stop for a break here, but when I've seen you on Facebook, I'm like, the guy looks younger every time I see a picture get posted. So that must be why. Wow. Congratulations.
That and Photoshop, so yes.
Yeah. Very good. All righty. When we come back, we'll talk more about navigating these times. And I'd love to know from you, what's it been like for you? What's been hard for you? What have you learned about God in this process? What adjustments have actually been really good and creative? You can text your answer to 877-933-2484. More with Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. Just a moment. It is. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Talking to our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, and we're talking about life after COVID. It's not done yet, but just navigating these months, I should say life through COVID. Excuse me, whether you're married or single, just the impact. What have you learned? How have you learned to adjust? How are you better? What are some of your takeaways? Excuse me. In your book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, you guys, you write, it's important to remember that buttons don't typically follow a logical path. If they did, they'd rarely get triggered. So talk about buttons that get pushed during stress like this, where you're on one hand faced with uncertainty. On the other hand, you're crammed together in a home, especially with kids who are schooling at home and people trying to work at home. How do you navigate that? Greg, I'll go to you first.
Well, a good example is the other day, Aaron bought a new chair for her home office where she sees, you know, clients on Zoom, and asks me simply to, hey, help me move this chair in, which you think would be a very easy win for our marriage, right? Simply
yes.
Move it, let's move a chair. I don't know what exactly happened, but we ended up very frustrated with each other, and I ended up dropping her chair and storming out of her office, and so that didn't work out real well for us. But the looking back, though, I think for me the button that got triggered was that I felt disrespected. I felt like I was being asked to help, and because Aaron was stressed and I think was late for a client, that she just was frustrated with me. And so the button for me that got triggered was just felt disrespected. And so sadly, when our buttons get pushed, we react. Usually it's not in good ways. So dropping the chair, storming out of her office is not how I want to show up. That's mm-hmm. not how I want to treat Aaron. And whereas she did such a great job of apologizing like 5 minutes after that happened, it took me 24 hours of being prideful, going, I don't have anything to apologize for. You were the one that was mean to me. And finally God helped me to realize, well, Aaron might have also helped me realize, but between the two of them, I realized that I had, that just the way that I treated her by storming out, kind of withdrawing, that's not who I want to be as a husband. That's not good for our marriage. And so it's just recognizing that all of us, we have buttons, they're going to get triggered, and then we usually react in some way that doesn't help. It only makes the situation worse. And you know, for Aaron and I, we're constantly trying to learn to identify those buttons quicker, because that's what's honestly worth talking about, and using those kind of ways to grow closer. And we did. I mean, after I finally apologized to her, then we were able to have a good conversation.
And it only took 24 hours. I was leaving to go see a client and go see a couple. And of course I'm thinking, great, way to go, Aaron, pick a fight with your husband before you go work with another couple. And I didn't really mean to pick a fight, but I was irritated because the back of this chair kept falling off. And then I was in a hurry because someone texted and said, we're here early. And I was like, I got to go. And he looked at me and dropped the chair and walked out. And I was like, whoa, what just happened? Something got triggered there. But I did immediately, once I got in the car and was driving, I was like, oh, that was ridiculous. And I owned what I could and apologized. And it did take you a little bit, but we got there.
I was hoping that God would convict you more within that 24 hours. Obviously, it was me that needed to convict you.
Yes, let's keep that clear.
So, you know, one thing that it's been interesting, Aaron, you guys have been so honest about your story over the years. It's been so precious to me. But just watching, you know, you, as you talked about, just growing more and more confident in who you are in Christ. So staying secure in your identity as you two are working things out. Both of you have said that a lot, you know. But, you know, I've heard stories from wives of husbands who will do that. They, you know, and Kevin has said, if a guy doesn't see a path to a win, he won't even try. And I'm sure that so the trigger for the guys is it shuts them down if they don't feel like they're competent. But what advice would you have for a wife if the husband is withdrawing for 2 and 3 days? Do you leave him alone? Do you march in that room and go, you're not going away for this long? You know, what do you do?
Yeah, I would first and foremost check in with you. What's going on for you? Get your heart back open and then let him know. Go back to him and say, hey, you know, can we revisit what happened? I didn't like how it went. I want to share with you what happened for me, and I'd love to hear about what was going on for you. And I would say step into that listener role first and foremost. Be quick to you know, slow to speak, quick to listen, and just step into that role from the place of openness. Now, if you go after him and your heart's closed, there's going to be a lot of attack going on and a lot of you did this and you did that. That's never going to go well. And so often I will just say, you know, what do you want? Do you want reconnection? And if you want that, then try something new. Go after that from the place of openness and from the place of open heart and see what happens. and try something new.
And Susie, what she really wanted to say was what a good friend of hers just brought her as a gift. Because that's the answer right there in that bag.
The thing my friend brought me for my new private practice is a sign that says the key to a successful marriage is to argue naked.
I noticed that's going to work for me,
but maybe it would work for someone out there. I don't know.
Well, I knew something happened because I'm like, I lost Greg. He's gone.
I was just reacquainting her with that gift that someone gave her.
Yeah. So, Greg, I want to ask you as a guy, because I have heard the story from other wives, you know, when a man withdraws, what, for you, what's helpful and what's not?
Well, first of all, what's been important for me to learn is it's not Aaron's job to manage my emotions. And so when we withdraw as a man, it's typically because we're overwhelmed, we're flooded. The situation has just kind of overloaded our senses. And so often we get out of there. We go and retreat. And the problem is that's withdrawing, and that's never healthy for a marriage. It would have been how I wish I could have done that differently is that I wish I would have said to her, you know what, Aaron, right now I'm feeling, you know, attacked. And that's not okay. I'm going to take a break, and then I'll be back later and I'll help you move this later, but I'm not willing to do it this way. Like that sort of a boundary is healthy, letting her know that something's happening that I'm not okay with, but I'm not just going to leave. We'll deal with this later, but I'm going to go take a break. See, all that would have been great. I just didn't say any of it. I just left. And that's what probably the average guy does is in that moment. So it's learning how that's my pride speaking. You know, when I walked out of that room, I was like, how dare her treat me this way? And I am so much more valuable than that. And so I'm going to teach her by leaving. That's not okay. And again, what Aaron does, Aaron can be responsible for that, but she is not responsible for my emotions. That's me. And me getting my heart then back open so that we can readdress it and have a good, healthy conversation is important, because the moment that all that took place in her office, my heart totally shut down. Well, nothing good comes from that. I'm not looking out for her interest. You know, I'm just reacting. And so it's learning how to let her know, I need a break. I'll be back, going away, spending time with the Lord, getting my heart back open, and then coming to my wife and going, okay, let's talk about what just happened there. I mean, because one, when my heart gets back open, see, I begin to see her as Christ sees her, and how Christ sees her is who she's been over all these years. Like, that's
love
grace. The moment that I can see her for who Aaron's been consistently over almost 30 years, that, you know, how she showed up that particular moment, that wasn't even her. She was having an off moment.
But I'm telling you,
the key is, though, what do I need to do to get my heart back open so I can reengage with Aaron so that we can work through whatever we need to talk through?
I love, you know, over the years how much you guys have talked about our personal responsibility to care for our hearts and to know what's going on in our hearts. And I've said this to you before, but, you know, my boys are in their 30s now, believe it or not. And when they were little guys, I was making the bed and I had Focus on the Family on. And your dad, Dr. Gary Smalley, was a guest. And they said, if you could give a young parent one piece of advice, what would it be? And he said, do not let your child walk away with a closed spirit. You know, just that closed heart where if you yell at them or you blow it and they shut down, go back and get that thing open again. And it was like the single best advice. And, my, you know, to know my boys now and to have them so open, because we worked at that and cultivated that over the years as a parent, was just the best advice. And I love how you talk about it now. And we talked at the beginning, Aaron was talking about the importance of naming what you're feeling. And I, you know, this podcast I listened to right before I got on, just saying how it we have that limbic or amygdala response, and it literally diffuses that as soon as you name it.
Yeah.
So, Greg, explain it, or either one of you, explain the amygdala hijack. Actually, what is that? What happens?
And I'll how let the naming nurse your... take this one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then how naming it changes things.
Yeah, well, and I kind of describe it differently than Greg does, so maybe we can each have a run at it. When you are triggered, so when you are in a fight or a disagreement with your spouse, with a child, with a friend, just a, you know, a disagreement, or if something is said and you just have a physical response to it, like you feel like you've been, you know, slugged in the gut or your heart starts pounding, you're going into fight or flight, which is housed in your limbic system or your amygdala. And so the brain activity goes there and it gets stuck there until you do something, until you begin the de-escalation process. So what I tell my couples and I do for myself as well, I mean, the first thing that you can do, A, step back, because whatever you say and whatever you do in that moment is being led with all the cortisol infusion. I mean, you're in fight or flight, so your body is elevated. So step back and then begin going, huh, I felt like I got slugged in the gut when that comment was made. What is going on for me? And just simply saying, I am feeling disrespected. I am feeling invalidated. Whatever it is you're feeling moves the brain activity from your amygdala to your prefrontal cortex, and it begins the de-escalation process. Now, there's other things you can add in there along the way, like taking some deep belly breaths and doing some grounding exercises, like counting, you know, five things within the room that are stable, or putting your feet on the ground and feeling the ground underneath your feet, just to ground you and to continue getting your body to de-escalate. And so trying to continue and push through, like even with the chair, with Greg and I removing the chair, it wasn't going to go well if we continued to push through. It was one of those times that we needed to step back. We could have done it better. I mean, I could have very easily looked at Greg and said, hey, I've got a client that's waiting. I got to go. And can we talk about this later? That would have been the more loving thing to do. Instead, he drops the chair, he walks out, and I leave. Well, then I apologized, but it took someone else a little bit longer. Yeah. So that is my take on the amygdala hijack. I don't know if Greg has anything to add.
No, that was well put.
Aren't you proud of her, Greg? Let's go say.
I am. I have taught her well.
I was talking about her opening her own practice. You two are an amazing couple. Okay, when we come back, we'll pick up the conversation, and I want to have you respond to this one on the other side. This dear listener says, as a retired empty nester, life's been lonely for me. Both my boys married inside of a year of each other. I knew I needed to step back and allow their marriages to grow. It's been very lonely for me. But with COVID, my husband had to set up his office at home. What a blessing that has been. Our marriage has become much sweeter this season. How precious. We'll have Greg and Aaron speak to that in just a moment. Love to hear from you. How has it been for you? How is it going? What have you learned? What's been hard? Text now, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith matters so much, it's more precious than gold. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Susie Larson Live. Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley are my guests today, having a great conversation. And so my question for you, friends, is how has this year impacted you? I mean, what are some of the skills that you've learned? What has been the hardest for you? What lessons has God taught you, and who has he been to you? What have you learned of God, maybe that you couldn't have learned any other way? Text in, I would love to hear, 877-933-2484. And either one of you can comment on this, dear listener. As a retired empty nester, life's been lonely for me. Both my boys married inside of a year of each other. I knew I needed to step back and allow their marriages to grow. It's been very lonely for me. But with COVID, my husband had to set up his office at home. What a blessing that has been. Our marriage has become much sweeter in this season. One of you want to comment?
I love that. See, I'd love to, in addition, Susie, to what you asked people to text in, I'd love to know what would the word be that they would choose for this last year. What's the one word that describes this last year? And for me, I would pick pivot, because I think that just so perfectly describes everything has changed, and we're constantly having to pivot. Aaron and I had to pivot even within our own marriage, because Susie, I know that you and Kevin travel a lot. For Aaron and I mean, we were doing 15 to 20 marriage events But what we quickly realized is that a big part of our connection and in the depth of our intimacy happened when we were on the road. You know, when we're staying in hotels and eating at cool restaurants and ministering together, teaching together on stage, all that was incredibly connecting for us. And so when all that went away, all of a sudden we started going, okay, how we're together, how are we feeling not quite as connected as we used to? And we had to pivot and go, okay, we've got to figure out a new way now to feel that connection. And so Aaron and I started going on walks so that we could spend about 10 minutes just asking each other what was the high of your day and the low of your day. And that really facilitated the connection that we loved that we usually got while out on the road. And so for me, I would as your listener wrote in, they had to pivot. We've had to pivot. But I'd love to know how would other people describe in one word kind of what this past year has been like.
And I know Jeanette for us. Go ahead, Susie.
I was just going to say, Jeanette just wrote in, said acceptance. That would be her word. And then this other listener said, my word would be growth, growing closer to God and to my husband. Love those. What do you say, Erin?
I was going to say, even coming into the new year, so many times people, you know, set goals. And so I went to Greg and said, hey, how about if we really focus on setting some new goals for our marriage? And my word for this year is becoming. It's just becoming. There's so much growth occurring as I'm entering into private practice and just spiritual growth and emotional growth and becoming. And so Greg and I really talked about what will this look like in our own marriage. And one of the things was making sure that we're getting out of the house once a week together, just to do something fun. Because through COVID, for us, it's been a lot of home. We've watched a lot of great Hallmark movies that Greg loves, and he cries at everyone, especially the one last night. It was one that his dad partnered with Karen Kingsbury on, you know, several marriage books, well, books that centered on marriage.
Novels.
And so we watched one of them last night. It was precious.
Mm. Wow.
So we've done a lot of that, but what else can we be doing to make sure that we stay connected? And so I just encourage people, you know, not only focus on what's the word for me individually, but what's the word for our marriage, and what are the goals for our marriage this year? What are we needing coming out of this season into this new season? What really could be additionally added into our relationship or strengthened within our marriage? And it's a season of change, and so why not have it impact your marriage?
Love that. We did a whole show on your one word for this next year, and it was powerful. We got to pray with people, but a number of people are texting in. This one says, sovereign has been the word God has been pressing on my heart. I love that, because when you know God is sovereign overall, and that you can, more is on his shoulders than on yours, you can rest secure in him, even when the storms. Mike says his word is look, and I like that. It's like, what's God going to show you? James says clarity of priorities of what's most important. Actually, that comes from Tracy. Clarity of priorities about what is most important.
Wow.
And then Sherry says loss. Lots of health issues. I wonder if one of you would pray for Sherry. That would be great.
I would love to. Lord Jesus, I just come before you, Heavenly Father, and lift Sherry up to you, Jesus, as she has had a lot of loss, as many people have, Lord, but she's taking that step out to put it out there that I've personally had a lot of loss. So, Jesus, I know that you are close to the brokenhearted and that you will comfort her and bless her for stepping out and for being vulnerable. So, Jesus, just comfort her, bring her peace, bring her courage, and bring her rest, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord,
we just trust you. Amen.
Wow, I love that. I love the idea of getting a word for your marriage as well, just because it puts a vision right before you. And, you know, that's the whole thing is it's so easy to settle into what's easiest when things are so shaken. But I think if we can be creative and take some initiative, it'll bring some life to us. And in your book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, you guys write this: the world is waiting. Your spouse is waiting. Your kids are waiting for your healed, open heart. Remember, the story of your life is the story of a long and brutal assault on your heart by the one who knows what you and your marriage could be and fears it. And man, we could probably devote another whole show to just the enemy assault on family, on your heart, on marriage. But I want you to cast a vision for what could happen if we really did start to tend to the issues of our hearts so that we could tend to the issues of others' hearts. Because I've been saying this over and over for the last year, you two, that as Christians, we've got to tend to our soul and our hearts, because there's a whole world that's been traumatized and does not know what to do with what has just happened. So we can impart what we don't possess, so we need to be ready to dispense love and joy. So maybe, Aaron, speak a word if you would.
I'm sorry, I just spilled my Coke Zero all over my computer.
Greg, take it.
Greg is pointing at me. And
so I'll take this one.
Yeah, you take that.
Well, I as you were talking, Susie, it made me think about, you know, the Jordan River. So this beautiful life-giving river flows into the Dead Sea, but nothing flows out. And that is far from what God wants for us as individuals or for our marriage. He's blessing us. He's bringing us this, all this life-giving stuff, and he wants us then to turn right around and let that flow out. And so I would just encourage a couple, sit down, talk about choose a word as a couple for this year. I know that I showed Aaron the word that I wanted for us, so we just have to agree on it, is the word used. And because I feel like we've been cocooned, you know, Aaron and I are used to being able to do a lot of marriage ministry. I just feel like that we've been placed on hold, which is great because we've grown as individuals, we've grown as a couple, but I want us to now be used, and I'm so looking forward. And it was really cool how God brought a young couple into our lives instantly as we started to pray, God, use us, who just were hurting, and they needed some help, and we were able to provide that. So I would just encourage people to sit down as a couple and say, let's pick a word. Let's pursue that together. Let's allow that word to define who we want to be for this next year.
Hmm. Joy writes in and says, listen is her word. Mm. And wow. So what might God speak to you, Joy? Wow. But Aaron, say word now that you've trashed your computer.
Yeah, it'll be a little interesting to see. Oh, that's my brand new one I just got.
Oh, my. Oh, bless your heart. But the ongoing work of really paying attention to our heart, of caring for our heart so that we can show up the way God wants us to in our relationships.
It's essential. It is essential. If you want to have good relationships, start with your own heart, because you will never show up in relationship as your best self or who God really created you to be with all the gifts and talents he's given you, unless your heart is open. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit will never flow through you if your heart isn't open. So, of course, showing up to a relationship with, you know, love and joy and peace and self-control, I mean, on and on, that, you know, that's what's going to create good relationships, letting the Lord work through you with your open heart. So if you're struggling in your marriage, struggling in a relationship, step back and go, what's going on inside of me? What am I feeling? And what do I need? What do I want in this moment? Lord, what's true about me? That is what opens my heart so much, is when I turn to him, because he is our source of truth. Otherwise, we start looking for our meaning, our value in people, places, and things, and it just doesn't work. Yeah. We get our value from him. So plug in, open it, ask him to help you open your heart, because he will, and have him speak his truth down into your heart so you can go back to that relationship and pour out to whomever it is.
I love that pour out, much like an open pop can pouring out all over a computer. That's the image.
Super helpful.
That's right. Well, we needed a visual, and now we can wrap with that. So, all right. You guys have to come back soon. I feel like we just scratched the surface on so much, but we sure love you, and keep fighting for marriages and families. We just appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you, Susie.
Thank you, Susie.
We love you.
We love you.
Okay, we'll be talking again. That's Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. You can check all their books out on Amazon. And I pray that you continue to connect your heart to God's. Let him speak to you. Let him heal your heart. It'll make all the difference in your life, in your heart, and in the world. Hey, we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.